welcome to the sixth season of For the Quantum Grammar Shoot podcast. I'm your host, Jason-Matthew Glass, and in this season, I'm going to be concentrating much more on the grammar and sharing my knowledge thereof. To those listeners who are serious about the grammar and are serious about learning it and about learning the benefits that it can present to you as a tool in your navigations through your day-to-day life. Thank you very much for joining me. People ask me all the time, what would I use correct sentence structure for? What purpose would it serve? Well, if you know what it is, if you know what quantum grammar, i.e. correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar, if you know what it is, then you would know the answer to that question. Many people use it for many different things. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. When I say many, I don't mean thousands. Heck, I don't even mean hundreds. Maybe not even dozens. Because I can count on one hand the people that have closure on syntax and know how to do that and know how to create a correct sentence structure on the spot in any now space scenario. And this has held true since I began teaching in 2018. It's just not something that everybody has access to. Not because it's hidden, not because it's secret. Because it's difficult. It's not easy to learn it. There's a lot of value and now space invested in learning it. Blood, sweat, and tears. And many people just aren't willing to do that. Because they feel perhaps that there's no payoff, so to speak, with it. And if you're perfectly content with your contracts, if you're perfectly content with your bills, your taxes, your agreements, your joinders, your mortgages, your contracts, your loans, your whatever, your cars, boats, houses, properties, if you're okay with those contracts the way they are, well then, of course, there is no reason to use it. I mean, why would you need it? You don't need it. It's probably not for you. However, if you feel that you're being trespassed upon, or if someone's doing you wrong, or someone is taking advantage of you, trying to steal from you, harming you in some way, bureaucratically, well then this technology is really similar to taking a wrecking ball into a building to take care of a fly. When you're a police officer or a doctor, a nurse, an FBI agent, maybe, I don't know, detective, some sort of individual with credentialing, where you have like a placard card that you wear around your neck or attached to your lapel or something. They are credentials that you carry around that were given to you by an authority. Like, you know, if you have an identification badge given to you by the hospital that you work in, or whatever, and someone looks at it, it's like, oh, he was given that by the hospital, you know, he's belongs here, he's somebody special, he has some kind of special privilege or special access, there's something there, you know, that's what that is, credentialing. When you carry around, for example, a CPAS-C treaty with correct sentence structure, if you do it yourself, if you create it yourself as a live life claimant, claiming a position of fact for yourself and your live life and your treaties and contracts, you are the one that's certifying yourself and you and your knowledge. You don't have someone to fall back on. It's only you. Just like if a doctor is walking down the hallway of some medical facility and someone stops them and says, "Who are you?" And they look at the credentials, they can tell right away, oh, this is this guy. It's his picture on this card here. He's a doctor. It says he's a doctor. It was given to him by this facility, the hospital, so, or the medical association or whatever. And so they know, oh, he's been certified. With a correct set and structure CPAS, it's not the same. It's different. Now, I have had people look at it and they treat me as if there's something special going on, but it's only because it looks different than anything they've ever seen. And if it's someone like a TSA agent, for example, and I'm using that example because it actually happened, they will ask, "What is this?" And I tell them what it is and I give them closure to it. They don't know what that is. I had a guy tell me, "We don't honor that." And I was like, "Oh, so you don't have honor? Is that what you're telling me? You're not, you don't honor it?" It was kind of funny. You must choose your words carefully, for sure. But when you're put in those situations, you don't have an authority to lean back on except for your own. And it is, I will admit, a bit more challenging and a bit more difficult than it would be if you were just using a credential given to you by the fiction. Or perhaps it might be easier or harder than if you actually had a correct set and structure CPAS C treaty under the someone else's authority. I don't know, because I've never used a CPAS C treaty that someone else had authority over other than myself, because that's not how I roll. To finish the story about the TSA agent that I started earlier, I don't know if I told this story before, but anyways, after the agent told me that they did not honor my CPAS C treaty, and I went into it with about, "Oh, so you don't have honor." What had happened was I was basically transporting my son onto a plane vessel, because at the time my son was under the age of 18. So I was basically postmaster of him, transporting him and through their custom clearinghouse so that he could get onto that vessel and go wherever he was going. So when I said this CPAS C treaty is federal documentation for the closure on my correct sentence structure communication parse syntax grammar contracts, the TSA agent said, "That's not federal." I said, "Yes, it is federal. Do you see that red fox postage stamp? That's federal. Do you know what federal means? I autograph over the stamp. This makes me postmaster of this vessel." And he said, "Well, that would just mean that if I put a stamp on," and he pointed to my son's boarding pass, "if I put a stamp on that and autographed over it, then that would make that federal as well." I said, "Yes, isn't it beautiful the way that works?" And when I said that, he just got this look on his face and he said, "All right, go, just go." And he pushed us through the line. Now, this particular TSA agent was a little bit belligerent. Had no patience. I could tell that they were stressed, and why wouldn't you be dealing with, you know, getting paid whatever they get paid, minimum wage, and working all those hours, dealing with all those different types of personalities. And then you got someone like me coming through with this thing that they've never seen before, and they don't know what it is because they're used to seeing a particular type of document. whether it's a fiction driving license, a fiction passport, they're not used to seeing something that is not normal. So that's why I always say you have to have the capacity to give closure to those things. To go back to what I said at the beginning, what use is correct sentence structure? Well, this is where it comes in. If you wish to board vessels in this manner, you don't have to use it. You can just use your fiction passport or fiction driving license and go on your merry way. It just depends on how you want to present yourself in a certain situation or a certain scenario. I would like the listener to keep in mind also that these types of scenarios are very delicate in their balance of honor and grace. They can go south very fast, especially when you are dealing with a belligerent personality, someone who is short of patience, who doesn't have time, doesn't feel that they have the time to spare to deal with someone coming in with what they would probably consider to be bullshit. What's this now? You know, someone like, I can only imagine how they feel when they deal with these individuals that call themselves Moors or sovereign citizens or whatever other kind of fiction condition estate that someone would choose that would be different than the norm. And I can just imagine the stress that that individual goes through, both individuals actually, but especially the TSA agent who's sitting there dealing with all these different personalities, not to mention perhaps even the clerks at the ticketing desks that deal with baggage claims and things like that, when someone has to put a bag below the plane and things like that, and people come in with their different things. I can just imagine putting myself in their shoes, what they deal with. Just the other day, I was at an airport, and the woman was really having trouble dealing with some gentlemen from Africa. Number one, because they didn't really speak English, and number two, I don't know, they weren't very happy, and she wasn't very happy. And she said she had been there from 4 in the morning, and it was like 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night at this point. And I didn't want to do anything to give this woman any type of grief. So I made it as smooth as possible what I had to do. And so that's a big part of being successful with this. Not just knowing what you're doing and having closure on the knowledge that you're trying to convey, but being kind, being considerate of the other individual, thinking about what, because the only thing that, for example, me going to the airport at that time, that's the only situation like that I had to deal with all day or all week. These people deal with it every day, all day. So, you know, it's just, I suggest, highly recommend, keep that in mind if you're going to go out and start experimenting with these things. Now, since I've touched on that in the last segment about personal interactions with people in the public, communication skills, as I mentioned in a YouTube video when I was discussing the fate writ volition claim, your fate is determined by how well you can communicate. So that determines the outcome of these now space scenarios. So I would humbly suggest for the listener to also carry this forward with interactions with, for example, police officers or constables or whomever. Think about them and their position. I know people are very fond of perhaps taking a view of police that they're somehow less than human, that they're angry all the time, they're just there to hurt people, they're there to abuse their power, they're there to whatever. And a negative light, a negative condition of state is the way some people prefer to view them, having to do with perhaps their own personal interactions or interactions of people they've seen or know, or even what they've read about in social media. Here's the thing. There's always two sides to a story. These police officers, for the most part, deal with crime. They deal with murderers. They deal with armed robbers. They deal with rapists, thieves, drugs, any, you know, these types of crimes that you're thinking of, they deal with them all day long, every day, going from scene to scene to scene to scene. And this is their everyday life. They deal with some, definitely they deal with some less than cordial, less than friendly, less than reasonable personalities. And that's putting it lightly. They deal with hostile environments where their lives can be in danger. And when you come up with your stuff, like say, for example, if you are speeding down the road and you don't know you're speeding, you're not paying attention. Maybe you're looking at your phone. I don't know what you're doing. But you're going through a 25 mile an hour residential area and you're going 40. For whatever reason, you're not paying attention. And there's a cop. And they pull you over. Now, how are you going to deal with that cop? As David Wood Miller used to say, don't get in a pissing match with a cop. Because you don't know what they've been dealing with all day. To be fair, they don't know what you've been dealing with all day. But we can pretty much place a good guess that they have been doing their job all day long, whatever that entails, all week long, all month long, all year long. This is your first interaction with them in this scenario. And it pays to be kind and be reasonable. And if they say, I do know how fast you were going. And if you realize, hey, you know what? I was going 40 in a 25. My bad. I'm so sorry. Yes. You know, I'll do what I need to do to stop and correct and make this right. Why? I mean, however you want to deal with it is up to you. But if you were in the wrong, if the speed limit by consensus was 25 in a residential area, which it is around where I am, 15 to 25, or school zones, because that's the general consensus of the people that made that law, that, you know, there's people walking normally in residential areas, and if you go 25 or 15 mile an hour and you hit someone by accident or a child, hopefully they don't die, as opposed to if you hit them going 40, they could die. So this is a public safety thing. So an honorable and graceful individual would say, you know, my bad. I'll do what I need to do to stop and correct. Thank you, officer. I'm sorry, you know. And you would be surprised. Sometimes they just might let you off and say, hey, you know what? Have a nice day. And they won't even give you a ticket. Who knows? But it pays to be kind either which way. Even if they're angry or whatever happens. Because you don't know what they've been dealing with. But you can reasonably guess that they've been dealing with a whole lot more stress than you have. And that's just a reasonable guess. And that's just something I want to put on the table that not too many people talk about. The easiest way to be mean to someone, to be malicious and hurtful towards someone, is to dehumanize them. To think of them as something less than yourself. That's how military, you know, I've been told this by people who are in the military. That's how they program soldiers to kill. They dehumanize the enemy. And so this is, I guess, you know, would be the whole thing about humanizing the badge. By the same token, on the flip side of that, I'm sure the police, you know, in those scenarios, because they deal with so much stress and the murders and the rapes and the lying in the hostile environments, perhaps they themselves think of the people that they're policing as less than human, and it makes it easier for them to do their jobs. So on all sides, these things can be thought about, but I'm specifically speaking to you as just a regular individual who wants to use correct sentence structure. Keep these things in mind. And again, as I always say, the psychology of it is 90% of learning this. So you listen to this entire podcast to get to this point where I'm going to tell you what use is correct sentence structure. Guess what? I can't tell you what use it is for you because I'm not you. I can tell you what use it's been for me. And the usefulness of it is very hard for me to put into words, other than it enables me to position myself as a fact, and it has enabled me to stop bureaucratic trespass when I was being trespassed on by malicious entities who are trying to steal from me and from others. That's the usefulness of it. I have used it to board vessels, board government vessels, interact with the militaries at times, creating a correct position. In each of these instances, by the way, that I've used it, the other individual that I was speaking with never batted an eye, never betrayed that they knew or didn't know what correct sentence structure was. If I had to guess, I would say they didn't have any idea what it was. On the other hand, they didn't ask me any questions really about it, except for that TSA agent that I was talking about. And also a postal clerk asked me about it once, and I gave them a card that I had with my email address on it if they wanted to learn it. I've also spoken with census agents who are trying to quote-unquote capture data. So, Jehovah's Witness. They used to leave pamphlets and things on my doorstep. So one time I syntaxed the pamphlet, sent it back to them, gave them my phone number, and told them to call me if they wanted to come over and talk. So they did. And we spoke for about 20 minutes. I gave them my card, and they left, and they have not returned since. So that's the use for me. What it is for you, I don't know. You would have to learn it yourself and use it yourself and find out how it fits in or doesn't fit into your life and your scenarios. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time.